to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is Danny Silva, IT Jag on Twitter.
And this is Andrew Schwab, another Schwab on Twitter, and the chauffeur for today's Roadshow edition.
Co-pilot to pilot. Are you there, pilot?
Well, yes, I am. Okay. I have no idea where I'm going, but I'm here.
Just go straight. Don't turn.
Okay, so I should get out of the right turn lane?
Yes. So this is episode 34, another road episode, but we have a Andrew's new SSD drive in his brand new MacBook Pro.
That's right.
And
hopefully we will not have any skipping, missing audio files this time around.
So we'll see. Hopefully that won't happen. If it does, you'll never hear this anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
True, and I'm never going to do a
road podcast again. So no. We tried this once before. We had some major problems, and hopefully. So you were a little tentative about putting this SSD drive in for a little while. You just kept saying, I need to do it. Finally, one day you just grabbed the screwdrivers and went for it.
Well, I didn't have time. It sat in the box for like a week. And so finally I just said, I'll just do it. And it's really easy to take the bottom off. It's just 10 screws, and they're little micro Phillips.
Tiny screws.
Yeah, although the screws are different lengths, so you got to take them out and keep them in some kind of order. Hey, this is Otis. Are we supposed to...
Yeah, after the tracks turn.
Okay. Left or right?
You'll see 43.
Okay.
And, sorry, we're a little technical driving difficulties.
And yeah, it's called me. And... So anyway, you take the screws off, and then you can see all the components underneath. The hard drive's really accessible, so if you just wanted to do a simple hard drive swap, it would be really easy. But I decided to go the next step and actually remove the optical drive and take the 500 gig standard hard drive out of the slot that it was in, put it in the place of the optical drive. So you got to put a drive caddy in. And that's where it got a little complicated, because this is one of the brand new Macs. So the guide that came with the caddy from the company didn't have the exact instructions for removing the Bluetooth and wireless antenna piece to get out a screw. So I had to go look that up in the internet, but that's why the internet's great. And then once I got that figured out, it was real easy to pull the old hard drive out, put it in the caddy, put the caddy in where the CD-ROM, DVD, or what's it called on Mac, SuperDrive, used to go, and then put the SSD drive in place of the hard drive. And the reason I decided to do that is because I read on some forums that if I had just put the SSD in and swapped that in place of the SuperDrive and made that my primary system disk, the Mac has problems with it going to sleep or shutting down the drive or something like that, because it's not... I guess that SATA channel isn't meant to be the primary drive. I don't know. Probably some Apple proprietary stuff going on. But I'm cool. It was, fairly straightforward. Not too bad. Hit the little snag with the instructions not being for the right MacBook, but that was solved pretty quick. And I think once I got through that, it took me, 20 minutes? You were sitting there while I was there.
Yeah, it was more of the... dropping little screws into the MacBook case.
Somebody talking to me while I'm trying to focus on little tiny screws.
Well, you should be able to do that. You're a certified tech
person. Your voice is just so grating.
Yeah, you know.
I couldn't concentrate on that thing.
So, speaking of...
Oh.
Changing out the SSD...
Thing boots fast now.
Is...
Wicked.
This is the newest MacBook with the pretty good amount of RAM, and it's the hottest processor... And so you've seen some performance increase.
Oh, yeah. It's fast. It's like, because we got some MacBook Airs on campus, too, and it's booting up like those. I mean, it's quick. Comes up quick. It's instant from sleep. When you open the lid up again, the login prompt is right there. I went with the OCZ. What is it? The Vectra 2.
We'll
it's 120 gig.
We'll have to add show notes and look up the stuff, and we'll put that in there. Okay, but the next point I want to bring up is, I don't know if you've have seen the article, but the newest iMacs, which are coming out, and they're supposed to be pretty hot, supposed to give the old MacBook or the old Mac Pros a run for their money with the 27-inch iMacs. you can run triple display now.
Yeah, and it figures that those would come out right after we bought ours.
But here's the deal. They are not letting you replace the hard drives in those. There's an issue that when you replace the hard drives, they're not working correctly.
What do you mean? Like trying to upgrade them to an SSD?
You can't you cannot upgrade them yourself.
Huh.
So...
Wait, that sign said we're going to Fresno, right?
Yes, that's okay. Correct. So, you know, you have the old last year's model 27-inch Mac.
Yeah.
And you're talking... You have an SSD for that, correct?
Well, I don't, but we could.
But, okay, I thought you were talking about doing that.
No, that's for my Hackintosh.
Oh, okay, your Hackintosh.
I bought a 3.5-inch SSD for my Hackintosh at home.
So,
which I haven't put in yet.
Well, okay, so that's... But same kind of thing. You could have installed it on your 27-inch Mac.
Okay.
And probably been get the same kind of performance boost.
Actually, correct? I might have to if I get used to this. I might have to buy two more SSDs.
But what this article was talking about, and I'll have to look it up and put it on the show notes, is you are not able to do that now in the new...
So there's some kind of restriction that they've built in?
Yes. And so I don't know if you cannot change them, period, or if you just have to go through them to get it
changed. Well, here's my take on that. If you're going to buy an iMac all-in-one device, why would you even want to do an upgrade like that? Just buy the one you want first and be happy with it for the next 4 years. That's kind of the Apple model, right?
Well, but Apple charges and any other... company charges you a fortune to get that upgrade device.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, well, but if you can go buy an SSD drive for, what, $200?
Yeah, but it's not Apple-supported. I'm doing air quotes. It's not Apple-supported. I should be keeping my hands on the steering wheel. It's not an Apple-supported SSD. Like this, this drive, actually, I had some good reads on the forum on it. And I wanted to do this upgrade more because I just wanted to get rid of the SuperDrive and keep that 500 gig storage, because I never use my DVD. You ever use? I don't use optical media at all anymore.
Only when I have a DVD that I want to use, but I can't download like you can.
Oh, that's true. You're still stuck in the analog. Anyway, so I don't use optical media. So for me, that was just a wasted space.
Are DVDs analog? Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
No, I guess technically they're digital, but it's an analog technology.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it's not 100% digital. And so I just thought it would be cool, a cool project. So that's kind of why I did it, because I could have ordered these things with SSDs. But then, you're right, they do cost more, right?
Considerably more for what the device...
At the time, I had not experienced the wonderfulness that is an SSD, so I really didn't get it. But I think in future, probably, I will be going with SSD.
Next year when you buy our new Macs?
Pretty much everywhere. Man, we're not getting new Macs next year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, that's been our policy, is we get a new computer every year, right?
That was our policy until our principal started subscribing to the podcast, and now our policy is we're going to run these things like everybody else.
We've never bought new computers. We just have been given new computers because changing.
No, we have to try them before we can give them
exactly
out to everybody.
We're the tech people, right?
We got to test.
It's
concept.
Moving from one laptop to another... Google I/O was this week, and if you haven't heard by now, Chromebooks, the Chrome OS laptops, are going to be out June 15th, I believe.
So they say.
And I believe Samsung and Acer
and Samsung
are going to be releasing them.
Acer looks like they have an 11.6-inch, which is kind of like the notebooks that we bought, and then Samsung's got a 12-inch.
Oh, I thought that goes against policy. I thought they're both 12.9.
Nah, I clicked on the specs, and the spec for the Acer said 11.6.
I guess because the one of them was a 12.1.
I might be wrong. It's been known to happen.
I thought it was supposed to, the whole point was that they had full keyboards.
Bigger screen than a...
Bigger screen, full resolution.
Well, I think the 11s on the Acers do have a...
Okay.
You're talking about 0.4 inches, dude.
Well, yes, but that's considerable on that small of a device. So...
Can I say that? No, I won't say it. Keep going.
$20 a month
for students.
What do you think?
Expensive. Do I need to defend that?
No.
Well, okay, put it this way.
It's not a purchase.
Dude,
it's not a lease,
I get it.
Right? It's a rental.
It's a rental. So $20 a month per student, right? $240 a year forever. Right? You're paying that forever.
And every 2 years you get an upgrade.
Okay, every 2 years you get an upgrade. Now, for, let's just put that in perspective, I could do a 4-year lease, and that would work out to about a 900 and plus device. What do we know that costs about 900 bucks? You got one in your lap. You got one in your lap.
Oh, MacBooks. Yes,
a MacBook.
Okay.
The numbers don't work, right? So you're going to give me a browser, basically, on a piece of hardware. Yeah, it's uber secure, okay, and it's super secure, and it automatically
updates. You're forgetting one thing.
What?
That also comes with connection to the internet.
How much? They haven't said. If it's 100 megabytes, it might as well not even bother.
I believe it's 100 megs.
It might as well not even bother.
Well, but it's still
can't do anything in a 100 megs nowadays is like dial-up.
Sure you can.
No. You're not going to watch a video. The world runs around video, right?
No. Yeah. But you could basically do anything in Google Docs.
How much?
Google Presentation, anything you needed.
All right, student, take this home. I would like you to create a presentation for class, but you can't use video.
Yes, you could, because it's all you're doing is you're sending the link from YouTube into...
I can't look up the videos and watch them before I put them in my presentation.
Sure you can, because it's not full resolution.
Oh, it's not full resolution.
Because you're running...
Dude, 100 megabits is nothing.
Or 100
megabytes is nothing. 100 megabytes is nothing.
I think you could do it.
That's just because you have satellite internet. So 100 megabytes to you is like a lot.
I get 250 megs a day, and I hardly ever... even touch that unless I'm trying to do it.
Because you don't do anything on the internet.
Unless I'm trying to do... I'd use Google Docs and build presentations
all the
time.
You're neutering the internet if you're going to accept 100 megabytes as
well, an... I didn't say that's accepted.
Well, you just said it's okay.
So I'm saying it's enough. Because
I'm saying it's not enough. And to say it's enough is a cop-out.
Because what if... At school, you're not on Verizon. You're on the school Wi-Fi.
You just killed anywhere, anytime learning by putting this arbitrary cap on internet connection while the kid's at home. What's the point?
But the student, the 100 megs is what's free. Now you can buy more if you need it.
Oh, now you can buy more. Well, guess what? For 20 bucks a month, I can already buy a netbook with 3G service, and the netbook costs me nothing.
Where?
Anybody, go to AT&T, go Verizon. They'll sell you a device right now.
Can we purchase that as a school?
Yes. In volume, in bulk. The only difference is...
And how much is the service?
Yeah, 20 bucks a month. For 5 gigs. Dude, they have not done anything except sell me a stripped-down, locked-down, crippled device. And they're not even selling it to me. I mean, if they had come out and said it was $5 a month,
So
it's not usable.
I have not seen the $20 a month for 5 gigs.
Oh, well, I could have told you that. We got Verizon and AT&T. They'll sell us that stuff in a heartbeat.
Okay, so that's a huge difference. I'm thinking more like $60 a month for service.
No, schools, tops is 30.
For schools?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's...
If we went to them and said, hey, we got 500 kids, we want to get them all netbooks... They'll give us the netbooks, and we pay 20 to 30 bucks a kid for service.
Okay, well, that makes a huge difference, but I do see...
There, I just torpedoed your little Chromebook, didn't I?
That's okay. I was trying to get some dialogue going, and it worked.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
I'm pissed because it should have been free.
Free how?
The device, the Chromebook, should have been free.
And you only pay for the service?
You pay for the service.
And then you get the 5 gigs.
And you get real service, not... But this is all speculation because they haven't said how much the service is.
No, they have not said the service. Initially, the original Chrome OS laptops came with the 100 megs for free.
So if the service is 5 gigs a month, then I take it all back. Although it's still slightly crippled. Until they come out with something that resembles Google Gears, which made the thing usable in offline mode.
Well, and...
Anyway.
There should be... They have to come up with some offline stuff. And I thought I read it.
Well, if they don't, they're missing the boat. Yeah, there was something out. They released it, but it's not out yet.
It'll be in...
They said it'll be out.
In summer.
Right.
Yeah. Which is the same time as the Chrome OS.
Right. Well, they have to do that.
Probably going to come out the same time.
Yeah. I mean, they have to do that. But they're trying to... I think schools was an afterthought. They're trying to make this a business device, which is basically an endpoint that you don't have to manage. Which, if you think about it, business has kind of been moving towards this thing called VDI, which is virtual desktop. The heck does the I stand for? Anyway, driving. So
now that you can use VMware and Cisco management services to push applications.
Yeah, and you got all excited about that, but that stuff costs money.
Well, I knew we were running VMware.
We're running the free ESXi server virtualization.
And we if don't wanted, have anything like that there.
No, if you want to do desktop, the desktop application virtualization stuff all costs money.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So at our little small school, we will not be doing that.
But you got to tell them, you got to, I would have to think that if this is anywhere popular at all, there's got to be some open source stuff out there for this.
No.
You don't think so?
Not unless Google's going to support some kind of open source virtualization client.
Well, they're all about open because they said that you can hack it.
Well, that, see, that's the other thing. They said go ahead and root it, right?
They said or jailbreak. Go ahead and jailbreak.
Right, jailbreak friendly. Well, if it's supposed to be some super secure corporate device, why would you do that?
Well, because then...
No, why would you do that? It means if I get my hands on it, I can jailbreak it, and now I have... What? I guess I have a device that doesn't go anywhere because all your stuff's in the cloud.
Yes, because your stuff is secure.
As long as they hash the password on the local machine so it doesn't, it's not, you can't, it's got to be super uber encrypted.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Look, I love the concept. You give me a device with zero management, with virtually no cost, I will accept the limited functionality of it. But don't give me something that's going to cost me more in the long run than something I could get with that's full-featured and has all the bells and whistles.
Well, and see, I think that's the way they're not thinking of it, as you never own the device. It's
dude, it's a rent-to-own scheme then.
No, it's not. I don't. They never talk about owning it.
I'm never going to be a GCT,
right? Well, I'm just trying to think about how they're. That somebody else might be thinking about it. But the marketing is this is something that is always going to be new for you, like a phone, right?
Rent to own, I don't think the objective is for you to own it either. I think it's for you to keep paying until you...
That's completely different.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I agree. Their marketing, it's something new. I'm just saying for a school, the price point of $20 a month per kid is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know who, what, you know, financial genius came up with that, but it's too much.
I'm sure there was major calculations going on there, but... and you got to remember, they're not. It's not Google only that's got to do this. They had to work with the vendor to set a price point.
Yeah.
And so, if anything,
but here's the thing.
I wonder how much Google was hamstringed by the vendors.
But here's the thing
that are creating this.
That price point is the same as a netbook. They've stripped out the hard drive. What else did they pull out of there? I don't know what else. Maybe they didn't pull much out of there. But it's the same. There's no OS cost.
But here's the thing I think that's happening on these devices is to get the 8-second boot time and...
What, they need fast SSD drive?
Well, they're probably...
It's flash.
And Google is, if I remember correctly, they are stipulating specific components for these devices.
Right. Well, that's fine.
So if I had to guess, what's happening is instead of Acer's usual crappy parts
I disagree.
They're putting in high level stuff.
No, because specs don't matter. Google will probably spec 8 gigs of flash. They're not going to spec. But here's what I bet you's happening.
Well, they'll probably have to spec a certain range of speed.
Maybe,
and
but
stuff.
This is what I think is happening. I think the margins on these things are high.
You think so?
I think the margins are high. They're trying to recapture some of what they've lost on netbook sales.
Acer and Samsung.
Acer and Samsung. So and really, these are $250 devices. That's what they should be.
We're getting hamstringed by the vendors, not by Google.
Well, I don't think it's Google, but I mean, they must have arranged this whole leasing or whatever it's called. $20 per student. What's it? Renting? I'm going to rent a Chrome
they're
notebook.
Renting. Yes, they're renting.
But no, I mean, seriously, do the math. Well, and if it's 240 times 4, that's the lease cost of a MacBook Pro or a MacBook, right? Over 4 years.
Over 4 years. Yeah. But after those 4 years, you
lease another one. I mean, this thing's perpetual too because it's always $20 a month forever, right? And if you want to really go, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. If you want to go down to the iPad level,
which
this thing is twice as expensive as an iPad.
Well, somebody purchased it out or figured it out. It was $720 for, I forgot, do the math. And they were talking about it, you know.
3 years.
3 years.
Yep.
So.
That's more than an iPad.
Yes.
Right? iPad, $550 with tax. Last you 3 years.
What's the lease on an iPad?
3 divided by 550 with a 4%. I don't know. I can't do math in my head.
3 divided by 5? Is that what you said?
No. 550 divided by 3.
Okay.
And then,
so
that's
your... Let's say 600
Okay, so
the case.
$200 a year.
divided
with 5% interest, which would be 10 to 210 a year. It's cheaper.
Yeah, by $30.
Yeah. What am I going to buy? After our trip today, I know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's segue. We ramrodded the Chrome, even though we could go still with Google I/O and talk Android, but we'll go over.
I am not a GCT. I can talk about Chromebook all I want.
No, I'm saying we could go from Google I/O and start talking about Android.
No, let's go. Let's go to segue. A happy place.
Let's segue. We just mentioned iPads.
The land of iPads, where all the kids are happy.
We're actually driving on our way back from Corcoran Unified School District, where we talked with Kathy and Josh. Josh or Joshua?
Josh. IT guy.
And we went through and saw their iPad program.
At their middle school.
At their middle school. They're getting ready for... They're going to buy 300 iPads for next year for their high school. And I was rather impressed. You've seen Avery, and we've talked about that before on the podcast.
That would be Avery Middle School.
Avery Middle School.
Yes, I went up to Avery Middle School, and I came back, and I said, iPads are great, but I don't think we can do it.
And I said...
Why would we want to do iPads?
I think we still need the keyboards because we need to be content creators, not content consumers.
Yes.
And this is back last almost a year.
Yeah, it's been about a year. And then I said, you know, you're right, apps are expensive and you need apps to create stuff. So.
And so iPads are more of a consumption device. Our students need to be creators.
And this was before you even had an iPad.
Yes. And our netbooks had... cameras on them. They had full keyboards.
You can type.
Internet.
Had the full web with Flash.
Full web with Flash. And you could use... We can install whatever Ubuntu app we could find for free.
And for every two netbooks, you can only get one iPad.
Yes.
So cost-wise, they were much more cost-effective. All right. So those were all the justifications that we used
for...
For convincing our administrative staff that netbooks were the way to go for
and
a one-to-one
we have
deployment.
A lease in hand ready to sign for
160.
The first half of, because we were going to buy one in this
fiscal year
and one in 2 weeks.
July 1st.
A month and buy another 140 for the next fiscal year we have 300 netbooks.
Two grade levels.
And after today, there was two key points that were made that I locked onto and I just was blown away by. And you said that you already had them in your head, but I think you just are using that against me.
I had them in my head.
Those two points were, one, they are just so much more,
User-friendly?
No. And, I'm looking for...
Oh, they are unlike what has come before.
Yes.
And so there's this wow factor. They're different enough. They're disruptive, right? And damn, didn't we have this conversation about iPad netbook disruption?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I still think the netbook's a little bit disruptive. The iPad is so incredibly disruptive because it is not... It doesn't look like a computer.
Okay, and it's not about the disruption, though. It's about that now the students... The wow factor, the disruption... makes the students want to take care of it and own it so much more than just another little laptop.
Yes.
And so that made sense to me. The other thing is we want our netbooks or the devices we pick to go home and to be able to be used by our parents. We have low socioeconomic school
demographics.
District demographics. Quite a few parents.
About 50% English language learners.
Yes, but I was going to say don't have internet-capable devices at home. The using and the learning of a netbook for a parent is going to be rather difficult.
It's a steeper learning curve than the iPad interface.
And I think the students would get frustrated trying to teach their parents.
Right.
Where if they took the iPad home and they said, here, swipe and click and touch. Basically, that's all you have to learn how to do on an iPad.
Right.
They could very simply show their parents what to do, and their parents could be on the internet looking at their grades and communicating with others via email, whatever. And I think those two things, the ownership and the ease of use for parents really made me start to think, are we going the right direction? And what do you say?
I say we're going to have long, awkward silence. Yeah, me too. I mean, I've struggled with this, going back and forth. I mean, I really have, because this is not something to be taken lightly. I still think the iPad's expensive, but I think the touch interface, the ease of use, and the wow factor with the ownership built in, right?
We both have. Well, you have a 4-year-old and a
5-year-old. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
7-month-old, and I have a 2.5-year-old, and they both have used the iPads, and we both can see how simple it is.
Yeah, you just pick it up. I mean, it's easy.
My daughter can get to an app no problem and start playing with it, and I mean, it's cool.
It's not only cool, it's functional.
Well, and
but again, primarily. I mean, at least for us, it's a content consumption device. But what we saw today and what I saw at Avery, the kids can make stuff.
Oh, the kids were going crazy building. Every class we went into, the kids were, and I was amazed at how, you know, I think I'm pretty good on technology and I'm pretty good with the touch interface. But with it sitting up in front of them on a desk, them using two hands, is reminiscent of how a really fast person uses the large trackpad on a MacBook with two hands, and you're just flying around, and somebody that's not used to using two hands on a MacBook trackpad,
right,
is looking at you funny, like, how do you do that so fast? Well, I was kind of looking at these kids, how do they do that so fast on with two hands going on?
Well, they grow up
they're
with this
using
kind
it
of stuff.
Well, they're using it every day also.
Well, and they're going to get good at it. And
really
the other thing I like about the iPad, it takes typing completely away. We're not even going to have a discussion about typing, and that's one of our big sticking points with.
Well, yeah.
Is how, do we need to teach kids to type still? One thing I thought was really cool in the math class was they all came in, all the kids came in, and they opened up that app where they were just doing multiplication, repetition.
As fast as they could. And they were blindingly fast.
Yeah.
I couldn't even read half the time. I was like blinking, and they were in the next problem already.
Yeah.
They were building presentations. They were only using the iPad 1s. And we're talking about if we do this, we'd go to the iPad 2s, which now you have GarageBand, you have iMovie, with the iPad 1s, you still have Keynote Pages also, but. We asked the question, what about Google Docs? Because we are a Google Docs school. And how do students, are students able to edit documents easily? And they said there's not a problem. And maybe it's because they don't know any different.
Right. They're not used to using the web interface, which just is much, much more feature-rich. I think we'd still have to maintain a lab.
Well, here's the difference between...
Or something. Because
Google Docs and an iPad.
You know, if we could get away from having to do a resume and we could do like a web portfolio, I'm just thinking of all the little places that we're going to get stuck because we're trying to do the old thing the old way.
Yes.
Right? If we're going to do something like this, we got to start thinking about how can we do the old thing in a new way, or is it even valid to do the old thing anymore, and do we need to do new things?
Well, the question also plays is, how often do you have to have a formally edited document?
You mean in real life or in school?
In school.
Depends on what your English teachers want out of you.
That's exactly what my point I'm trying to make, is if the English teachers can get around having a perfectly formatted document and just let the kids write for writing's sake and listening to and reading what they're wanting trying to say, then the editing and doesn't make it a bit of difference.
Right.
But like you were saying, the resumes, things that you would need as an adult, I can see where you should go into a lab and learn how to do that.
Right. And we have a lab for that.
And the class that does that has to do resume and cover letters. So they're getting that.
Right.
I don't think of it as a big deal. Have you tried to edit a site in iPad before?
I have not.
And I'm wondering how that would work.
Yeah, that might be interesting. But, again...
But, for the most part, it's click, insert, copy paste on a site.
Right.
You know, if you want to put a video in, you want to put a picture in, it's click insert, click image,
mm-hmm.
copy paste the
link.
Well,
where do you get that? Yeah, it's all. If we're using links and we're linking out to the internet, then
which is kind of my point with the Chrome OS, but this is taking it to a different.
No, I'm just level. Okay. So here's my concern, and as we start talking about this whole parent interaction piece, I see that as being key. And because for this to be successful, parents have to kind of get on board. And we want more communication with parents. We want this to be an easy process. And I don't want to get hung up on we're putting a device out there that's going to require lots of training to make it an effective tool to use. And I know we don't have to do much training with the iPad. If any, right? We may have to say, here's an iPad, here's how you turn it on, don't use Windex on the screen, whatever.
Yeah.
Basic stuff. And then
you
the kids.
Can't use Windex on an iPad screen?
I think you can, actually, but.
You just don't want to get it in the buttons and the.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
Well.
I'm not trying it on mine.
Don't spray it directly on.
Yeah,
how's
don't,
that?
Don't
how's
get it all the, wet. But, and then the kids will probably just pick up the tech support at home themselves. With a netbook, I think it gets more complicated because it is kind of geeky. You know, it's still an OS, even though it's the UberMix makes it really simple.
UberMix is simple, but there are some hard things about UberMix compared to, say, iPad.
But and here's, I really wish there was an UberMix for tablets right now because, like, the Samsung Tab is what, $350?
Well, they do have an UberMix for iPads. It's called Galaxy. It's called the Android.
Well, I know, but there's nothing you can't. Like, at least with the iPads. You can do some type of management, right? You can use the iPhone or iPod, what's it called? The iPod configuration utility. And you can actually do imaging and you can do all that stuff. I have not seen anything like that out there for free for an Android-based tablet. And I would need some kind of base level something for that, I think. I don't think we could just say, here, kids, here's your Android tablet without doing some kind of pre-configuration. Maybe I'm wrong. It might be the old IT mentality, but I still think you have to have some way to quickly image a machine in case something goes bad. And you want to start with a base image so everybody has the same apps, and you don't want to get it. You don't want to get it to the point where everybody's got different stuff.
Yes.
Right. So you know you can do that with the iPad. Another of the big things was really looking at apps and how you use apps, and you know I guess various districts are doing it different ways. So I'm not even going to address that right now, but. Suffice it to say, I think apps are manageable, and there's a way to do it that would work for us if we wanted to pursue that. And I don't know. I'm seriously, I want to go back and have a conversation about, you know, can we come up with the price difference, weighing all these options or all these benefits that we kind of saw today, and see if it makes sense. And the other thing I found really interesting about the trip today was, you know, this. Corcoran Unified kind of matches our demographics, which
demographics,
is
a little bit
socioeconomic. They're bigger than us, but you know, on the socioeconomic and the EL front, they look the same as us, which is good because we really haven't been able to see that anywhere else.
Yes, because we love Minarets, we love John Crippo. Got to mention John Crippo. It's another podcast, and
I'm gonna start charging him a fee for that.
But we do. We are completely different than they are as far as demographics go. And at some time or another, that is going to be question is going to be raised, which it always gets raised in our district.
And I think it's a valid question to ask.
It is something you have to look at because there is a different makeup of student. There is a different makeup of their home situation and who their parents are. And it's not always going to be different. As far as what's happening, but there is going to be
lots of stuff coming into play though. Parent education level, you know. Weren't you having a conversation? I kind of overheard it about the ability to use Google Translate now on the iPad to actually communicate with parents.
Oh, awesome.
At home, you know, we have a lot of non-English speaking parents.
Kathy was saying that.
Talk. Do the podcast or read your iPhone, one or the other. I'm driving.
I know. I was trying to figure something out. So she was saying that two students came in from Indian students, and nobody could speak the language. So what they do, they set up a Translate app on the iPad, and away they went.
Right.
How awesome is that? How often does that happen in a school? You know? Okay, so what I was trying to figure out on my iPhone is I am creating the doc, our shared doc, our show notes. But
wouldn't that be easier on an iPad?
Well, I don't have an iPad that's 3G right now. I don't have my iPad.
You're never going to have an iPad with it. Oh, no, you got
it.
Have you activated 3G on that? Have you used it?
Not in the United States.
Oh.
There's no way, as far as I can tell, to share right now.
Through Google on the mobile interface?
My app, my document.
Yeah, that button goes away. It's just edit.
I can print.
You basically have edit.
I can print.
We don't want to print.
Well, and the thing is because I'm signed into our domain for Small School Big Tech and not signed into the school domain where I set up the
Le domain.
Cloud print
yeah.
the other day. Well, we can talk about
We don't want to print, man.
I was just trying to see if I could print from the road.
But you can't share. That's a problem. So it's not fully featured. It's not fully baked.
I'm trying to go back to my... Let me go back.
There's no reason... Okay.
Here's the thing.
That app should be as full feature-rich as...
This is a web app, though.
Oh. Yeah, but that's what they have. They don't have a...
Here's the thing. The doc or the Google Docs on the Android, we're switching to Android.
So you said I downloaded it and then didn't do anything for me.
Really?
I put it on my Nook.
A lot of people are like loving it.
I must have the wrong Android device then, because I put it on my Nook and it's I can't even edit a document in it. Once again, I guess I'm never going to be a GCT. But I'm okay with that, because then I couldn't make fun of you.
I don't know if you got the right one or not. Maybe the Nook is having problems.
The only thing I can think of. I did get the right app. I know I got the right app. But the only thing I can think of is that because I'm not running. I'm only running 2.2 on it.
Oh, that could be a problem.
Yeah. So maybe, it might need 2.3.
So.
But I haven't seen Jim Klein's instructions on how to upgrade it yet, so I'm kind of stuck.
Okay, so I can search for docs from the homepage. I can click on the...
Yeah, it's basically non-functional. So what are we going to do? Move away from Google Apps?
No, this is not non-functional because...
Non-functional. We could go with, what's that? OneNote? Evernote?
They were
Note
doing,
Anywhere? Note Time? Notepad?
They were doing... I have it on my...
Note This?
Note... No, not Note This.
Just making up stuff.
It's called... They were using this... really cool app, and everybody I went by had a different looking system going on their screen, but they were all in the same application, and it was called Smart Note.
I sound smarter already just saying that.
So I will have to check in on the whole idea of sharing.
Yeah, if we can't use the full features of Google Apps, then that's going to be a problem.
Now, is it the same web app?
For?
In an iPad?
Yeah, there's nothing different.
What happens when you switch to the desktop mode?
You get all the buttons, but it's, you go to click on a region with your finger, and it highlights the whole screen. You can't drill down. No worky-worky.
I've never had this happen before. The browser you're using may not support all features of the desktop version of Google Docs.
Oh, you've never seen that before?
I've never seen that pop up before.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work right. So, what we really need is Chrome on the iPhone.
Chrome on the iPhone.
Yeah.
That would be a hack. Well, that's called Android.
Yeah. But, okay, so then why don't we just go with an Android tablet?
We could. I was asking about the Galaxy Tab 7-inch.
I think it's too small for school.
You really think it's too small? Or what was your better reason?
Well, I can't manage it, but I think it's too small for school.
No, well, you can't manage an iPad that well either.
I can manage an iPad. I cannot manage a Galaxy Tab.
What did we say was the problem with... You said something, and I can't... I had something to do with apps. Oh, you're...
Oh, there's no... What apps are there for it?
Yeah, there's apps, but just the there's not as...
Yeah, bare minimum. Do they have a special education app in the marketplace?
Well, I don't think... iTunes doesn't.
They do.
They just have special ed.
Well, yeah. What do you mean they just have special ed? They have a section in iTunes for special education apps.
Yeah.
That's what I said. There you go again.
Long pause.
Type it on your iPhone.
I'm trying to get this to work.
It's okay. I'm just driving. I don't need to talk into the microphone.
We're testing this out, and see, we're almost to Selma, so we're about...
I don't think if... Well, that's a two-hour drive for me, but I don't think if Google Apps, the full functionality of Google Apps is not going to work, then we have a problem.
Well, and that's something that I guess you and I, before we start approaching the administrators, we need to find out. So if you guys know out there, if we get this out in time.
I'll get it out in the next week. It might not be in time. I got to sign a lease. Well, we both have iPhone or iPads. We just need to test it.
Test it out. And here I am trying to reload my docs, trying to get.
Dude, we're in the middle of like, there's a vineyard on our right. And there's some kind of almond tree orchard thingy on our... We're in the middle of nowhere.
That's not almonds. You need to learn your trees.
I don't know. You're the ag guy. You tell
me
what
they are. Now we're between two vineyards. And they're not wine grapes. They're...
Raisin grapes?
They're raisin grapes.
And I see nothing. So I'm impressed you have signal. Actually, you've had 3G all the way out here.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Okay, so I'm in the dock that were created on desktop mode.
Yes.
On Safari Mobile.
Yes.
And I'm trying to zoom.
Yeah, no worky.
Oh! I got sharing to pop up.
Yeah, but you can't edit.
Oh. Yeah, but after you're done, you just switch to desktop mode.
Sure. After you just... That's really easy. No, not going to work, dude. So we need to look at that because
and
if that's...
I just shared the doc with you.
Can you explain something to me? Why doesn't Google Apps work on the iPad and the iPhone? Well, what's the holdup?
It's the same reason why they were just talking about on Twit with Leo Laporte that Android, you plug it into a Mac... And you try to pull your photos off, and the photos go into a hidden folder.
No, that's not the same reason. Google knows what mobile Safari can and cannot do. Right? So it's just they have not designed the Google Apps site or the Google app on the iPhone.
Okay, I just edited it. I edited it. And I just shared a doc with you.
Yeah, but you had to jump through like 18 hoops to make that happen.
No, it's because my 3G kept going in and out.
But it's still not easy. You got to switch into the... Can you edit it from the desktop mode?
No, but that's simple. I just go back to...
Oh, yes, that's simple. I just go back to the other mode. Yeah, no, from a training perspective, I don't like that.
Well, it's understandable.
So they need to fix
that. But it does work,
Well, is it Google... I mean...
Is it a Google problem, or is it a Safari problem, or is it not?
Personally,
Apple problem?
I think it's a Google problem because they could just make an app that made it work.
And the problem is look at they created a Google Voice app for iPhone.
Yeah, but that was voice.
Well, I'm just saying
the iPhone does not have an apps
and they killed
functionality.
They killed it.
Well, I think they got it back.
And
right? Don't they have one now?
Yeah, and it took them over.
Well, but what's
a year and a half.
What are you trying to say? Is it because they couldn't get the voice one done, they're not going to do an apps one?
I think there's a riff, and that's going to cause problems. And
I mean,
wish everybody would just get along.
So let me put it this way: if we did decide that iPads is the way to go, then wouldn't we just look at the Apple Wiki server, which integrates into all this stuff, and you can edit stuff through the mobile Safari browser and not have any of these issues, and every kid gets a wiki, and yeah.
Well, but yeah, but wikis aren't docs.
Well, but there I go again with, are we doing the old thing a new way? Are we doing a new thing a new way? Are we doing the old thing the old way? What's the point of having docs? Okay, well, what's the point of having the docs? It's so they can write stuff, right?
Yes.
Well, maybe they just all get a WordPress account and they get the WordPress app, and now they're blogging instead of writing.
Well, you could do that with Blogger too, for that matter.
Does it work on the phone?
Through Google Apps, we have Blogger.
How do you know it works on the phone?
Because I have a Blogger app.
Okay. Well, there you go. Right. So, do we actually need a Google Doc if we want kids to write?
Do we need Google Docs? Is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, what's the goal? Is the goal to get the kid to write?
I just think it's to get the kid right. Like I'm saying, the whole reason why we got off on this tangent was because of fancy editing, so you could do a resume.
Yeah, in which case we send them in the lab, but for just everyday stuff, I mean, even the note app in on the phone, you could type or write, whatever.
The other thing was
nobody
was,
writes anymore.
Was sharing, and I proved that you could do it.
Where are we?
We're in Selma almost. It's a little bit complicated. You could do it.
Yeah, but if I'm publishing to my blog, the sharing aspect is you go look at my blog or you subscribe via RSS, and I don't have to share anymore.
You don't have to worry about it. The other thing is Google Forms work perfectly on an iPhone and an iPad.
Right.
So instead of collecting data from students...
But again, that's a data collection. It's not a data creation. So the iPad still has a limited creation capability.
Well, but...
Am I getting on the freeway here? Going north?
Yeah, we're going... You want to stay in the lane you're in. Get behind the cattle truck.
I don't want to be behind the cattle truck.
Sorry, I had to use the fancy word.
You're an ag guy.
I didn't want to...
You're used to this stuff.
I'm from the city. I didn't want to make our podcast ungeable.
Do we even set ratings?
No, I don't think so.
Man, I should have had more tacos. I'm hungry.
So...
What were we talking about?
Okay, so... iPads versus netbooks. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I think the jury is still out. But we need to make a decision here soon because I got to order stuff.
So if anybody's running iPads or running netbooks, let us know what you think.
I already know what they think.
Well, most of the people that follow us are going to say, netbooks, right?
I don't know. I think it might be split down the middle. I think people who are running iPads like iPads and people who are running netbooks like netbooks.
Yeah.
And so, I do think there's valid reasons for both. I just don't know what the right one is. I mean, if it comes down to the fact that we can only do one grade of iPads versus two grades of netbooks, I'm still for the netbooks.
Well, I am too. And I still find myself leaning towards the netbooks, but the wow factor of the iPads would be kind of cool. And I think the kids would love that if you gave every kid. If you put iPads out on a table and a netbook on the table, what do you think the kids are going to go to?
The iPad.
So, we'll let you know what we decide because probably the next time we podcast, we'll have some kind of signature going.
We'll have bought something.
We'll have purchased something or have not purchased something and be ready to purchase something different. And I guess this is another episode of Small School Big Tech. But I can't even talk. Small School Big Tech. All finished up.
Another episode of Small School Big Tech. All finished up.
Yes, that's what he said.
Roll the music.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Okay, we're recording. I don't know how good this sound. Let's talk up.
Scratch. Level later, right?
I do. All right.
Drive. Get on the road.
Road again. Get your notes.
I'm creating them.
We'll see if the solid state works.
Hit some bumps. Really hard.
I just did.
Oh, that's not a bump. We weren't doing 50 miles an hour. Go over the railroad tracks while we're going. While we're talking, that should work. Are you making sure? Are you recording to the right device?
iPads for everyone. Yeah, that's the main hard drive. So, what are we going to talk about?
We need to talk about Chromebooks.
Need Crapbooks.
Hey.
What did Leo call them?
Leo can schmeal.
I think it's correct, though.
I don't think it's about the device. Okay, let's get started.